First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh.
Well, I figure if we're going to bring a fighter pilot on the air and talk to him about wanting to be a congressman, we ought to at least give him a little taste of home. That's a pass from an F-35 at the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show demo. Of course, the F-35A variant that the Air Force flies. Joining us now, we have Jeff Witt. He is a candidate for Congress, Congressional District 1, of course, to take the seat that Matt Gaetz has vacated. He's a BA in economics from Harvard. He's got an MBA from the Harvard Business School. He was a quarterback for Harvard. He flew F-16s and F-35s in the Air Force. He's a major in the Air National Guard, and he worked with Lockheed Martin as well. 14 years of service altogether, and he lives in Niceville. Jeff Witt, Major Witt, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for having me on. It is great to be on your show. I'm a big fan and excited to be with you this morning.
Great to have you, sir. I didn't get anything wrong, did I? I tried to get everybody's bio right. Did I get everything okay?
No, thank you for the very complete bio. Nothing I heard was out of place, and appreciate that. Yeah,
excellent. Just one quick question for you. Which one is more fun to fly, the F-16 or the F-35?
Oh yeah, great question. You know, from a pure aerodynamic greatness standpoint, the F-16 is pretty hard to beat. But in terms of combat capability, the F-35 is the most advanced fighter and is the jet you want to be in the modern war, for sure.
You mean when the radar is looking at you, you'd rather be a cross section the size of a BB instead of a bowling ball? Is that what you're telling me?
I can't confirm or deny the radar cross section of the F-35, but I will say it helps to be small. Yeah,
it helps to be small. Okay, so why do you want to be a congressman?
Well, I want to be a congressman because I believe I'm called to serve and I'm ready to fight on behalf of President Trump's agenda. I think we have an historic opportunity here with the Republicans holding the House and the Senate, as well as President Trump taking the White House, to get the America agenda, the America First agenda, passed into law. I want to be a part of that. I know I'm going to be the hardest working congressman on behalf of this district. And the other part of it is I'm a family man. I got four young children, and they are everything to me. And truly, I was worried over the last 4 years of the Biden admin about the future of our country. And I just feel like we have to get in there. We have to get the country back on track. I truly believe that the America First agenda is the way to do that. So that's what's motivating me to serve.
What would be, when you say get the country back on track, pick me one issue that Congress would have domain over that would be the kind of thing you'd like to work on to, you know, shift the country, either in support of Trump or to reverse things that were done by Biden? What's the what is an element of the get back on track plan for you?
Yeah, sure. I think there's three things I would hit on. First is getting inflation under control. Second is getting the border secured. And third for me is getting our national defense strengthened and rebuilding our military. To take the first one, inflation, you know, trying to feed the four kids here for my wife and I, the grocery bills are just extraordinary, and it's killing us. It's killing families all across this district. I know it is. I hear about it all the time from friends and neighbors. So what can Congress do on that? Congress can help look at passing tax cuts, certainly can help with deregulation. But the biggest thing for me is to unleash America's energy economy. If we can get energy prices down, that affects all prices across the board, and that's going to make a big impact on getting inflation back under control like it was when President Trump was in office the first time.
And then you'd also mentioned border and military. One of the things that, you know, I'm assuming that given your background and, of course, given Matt Gaetz's various positions, like on the House of Armed Services Committee, you would be trying to seek that same position, certainly given, you know, District 1. I'm really troubled by a lot of the military spending we have right now, not because I object to it in quantity, but because I see so many things being spent on what I would consider to be underperforming or overinflated or just misguided platforms. You know, the Zumwalt class destroyers were a total miss. The LCSs have been almost a total whiff for us. As you well know, the F-35 has had its share of, loads of problems. It's an amazing airplane, but, you know, loads of problems to the point we're already talking about the next gen. So how would you balance, you got an economics degree, how would you balance the need for more, you know, with our pacing peers like China, versus like the ones that have really sucked recently and like shipbuilding capacity and like all of those major concerns?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I agree with you, Andrew. I don't think the answer is just to give the DOD a blank check for more. I think we do need to cut out waste. I think we need to refocus the department away from DEI and woke issues and more toward actually fighting the wars or being ready to fight the wars that are going to keep us safe. More to the point, I think that right now I see, for example, the Air Force making massive changes in the way they're organizing themselves in order to be ready to fight kind of an island hopping campaign against China. That is extremely costly to buy the equipment and the capability to be that kind of a dynamic force. And I worry that we're adjusting ourselves so much for some long distance foreign overwater war that we're going to be unable to defend ourselves on the homeland. So what I would say is I think we need to refocus on defending American borders, American interests, and the American people. And I think there's a lot of ways we can restructure the defense budget to make sure that we're getting we are getting the capabilities we need to protect us. And the last thing I would say is, you know, President Trump has named Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk to run the Department of Government Efficiency. I expect that they are going to find quite a bit of waste that we can cut, and that's going to immediately help us get budgets down and actually get better results.
Jeff, one of the things that Matt brought to the table when he went to Congress is he, like you, was a let's cut waste, let's, you know, reduce inefficiency, let's battle against DEI. And, you know, in terms of, you know, like funding, he was able to win re-election so handily that, you know, he didn't have to take money from PACs, which made him a, you know, not susceptible to the pushes and pulls of, you know, that kind of influence. But I would say that in Congress, he didn't make a lot of headway. The institutional inertia of a behemoth like the Pentagon, as you well know, you know, it's all fine and good to say we're going to cut and trim and we're going to stop spending ridiculous amounts of money on ashtrays or airplane manifolds or anything else. But when you actually get down to doing it, it finds up being really, really hard to do. How do you think you can make a difference?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. Look, there's no doubt about it that Congress is a team sport. And, you know, I think right now it is a historic opportunity. As I said, with the Republicans holding the House, the Senate, and President Trump in the White House, I think there is a historic opportunity for us to pass the legislation that's going to get the country back on the right track. And I look forward to working with fellow Republicans on the Hill. But what I can promise is that I'm going to be a fighter. Like Gates was, I'm going to fight for the people of this district. I'm going to fight for what I believe in, and I will be a tireless worker to get to work on behalf of the constituents here. And I think I'd like to, you know, talk about a few of the local issues that are important to me if we've got time for that.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I mean, we hit on inflation. I think families here are getting crushed by inflation, so that is the number one local issue in my mind. But something else that's been a problem is property insurance has been just skyrocketing and forcing people out of their homes, making it very difficult for families to afford homes here. I think we need to get that under control. I think something that my local area here in Niceville is working on and I would like to support is finding ways to get more affordable housing for people. You know, one of the things I know that we can help with at the congressional level is the Orphan Parcels Project here in Niceville, which is land that's owned by the government, but is not going to be used ever by the government, just based on where it lies relative to highways and residential areas, that we could have the government sell back to the local communities. You know, the more affordable housing we can get, the more we can keep the skyrocketing house prices down, and that's going to help with property insurance as well.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned kind of early on, we were talking about your bio a little bit, caught me. You mentioned that you have four young kids at home. Being in Congress is a pretty demanding remote job. Like you're not in D.C. 100% of the time, but you're in D.C. a lot. Have you thought at all about, I mean, I assume you have, but, you know, how do you think you'll handle balancing being the dad who wants to be around his kids and being the dad who's got to go to D.C. all the time?
It's a great question, Andrew. And honestly, it's the one that I really had to wrestle with the most when I was, deliberating over whether to enter this race. Ultimately, what it comes down to is I love my children and I love my wife. And she is really the one who is enabling me to serve in this way, to put myself forward to serve. So we're going to work together. I'm going to be with the kids as much as I can be. But I do believe there's a, some things are worth sacrificing for. And I do feel called to serve. You know, I've deployed before and been away from my family. And I considered a similar situation here where public service is a calling. And it is something that I believe, requires sacrifice. And if you have the opportunity, that you need to step up.
Well, it may not be the worst metaphor to consider going to D.C. as a congressman like being deployed to a foreign country. that may wind up being more accurate than you know, right? Last just because I've got you on the phone with me, and it's been something I've been thinking about a lot with the Navy. Obviously, we are the home of naval aviation, both with NAS Pensacola and with Whiting. But look, at NAS Pensacola, we have the 457th trains all of your backseaters for the Air Force as well. You know, all of your flight officers come, the Wizzos or whatever come from here in the Air Force. And of course, with Eglin down the road and with Hurlburt and everything else, what do you think, and this can be a Jeff Witt, just an opinion thing, what is the future of military aviation? It feels to me like we are transitioning away from humans in the planes, not 100%, but heavily, to the point where at some point, that's going to start to be a dramatic shift in mission for us in Northwest Florida. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll give you my opinion on that. I do think manned aviation is here at least for several more decades. Having seen the capability of autonomous or remotely flown aircraft, I think you're going to still have the need for a man in the loop or a woman in the loop in making decisions. I don't think we will bring on drones and we will have collaborative combat aircraft, as the Air Force is calling it. But I don't see that as imminent replacing all of the manned aircraft. But I think that brings up for me, you talked about the bases and all the military communities in this district. And I do just want to say, as a veteran, I believe this district deserves to be represented by a veteran. You know, we've got more veterans in this area than any other in the country. In this district. And, I believe they deserve to have someone who knows the sacrifices that they and their families make every day and has worn the uniform. You know, I've worn the uniform for 14 years. And, I believe that's the representation our district needs. I also believe we need someone who is invested in the community. You know, I've had two children here. We had the opportunity to leave here at the end of my military assignment, which brought me here, and we chose to stay because we love this community. We love the people. We love the beaches. We love everything about it. And I look forward to introducing myself to voters and making my case as to why I would be the right person to represent them in Washington.
Jeff Witt is running for Congress. I think I told him it was going to be 5 to 7 minutes, a little bit longer than that. But it's okay. I love having a good conversation. Hey,
probably, sir, my fault, Andrew.
My fault. I just always have questions. So, hey, thank you for your service. Thanks for protecting the country. Thanks for running. I always appreciate anybody who's willing to go through what I think the horrors of running for any elected office. I haven't been willing to do it, so I appreciate that anybody else does. Major Jeff Witt, best of luck. I assume that we'll probably be talking to you again in the future or hearing from you, more than just following you, having been on Fox and Friends this morning. Sir, thank you for the time and best of luck in the election.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Andrew. It was great to be on the program, and it's a privilege to serve, and I appreciate all those who wear the uniform, too. Thank you.